Okay, we are live. Welcome to the RG DFS Tournament Takes podcast. I am your host, Chris Kirkwood, screen name Kirk Bees, here with my boy. We can add a new title. I mean, I've always used to say he's an esports savant, million-dollar winner, a preseason NFL savant, and now we get to add UFC savant. After a nice bink last week, he's back on the show with us, so lucky to have him. So should we talk MMA this week, my man?
Dude, if it wasn't an off week, we would definitely talk UFC because we've had some more success there lately. But yeah, I guess I'm a modern renaissance man, you can say.
Yeah, that's Brian Jester, Brian Jester FF on Twitter. Court Jesters is the screen name that you may have seen at the top of the MMA solo shipper. So congratulations to you. I'm glad that you got a bank, even if it wasn't in NFL. So
thank you, sir.
We are back for NFL week 12. How'd you do last week, week 11?
Not great. Not that great overall. Heavy exposure in that Kansas City Dallas game, heavy exposure in the Raiders Bengals game. Had zero Jonathan Taylor across roughly 1 million lineups on all sites. So, pretty tough to win that way.
Yeah, I had a little of, I had double the field in the baller, but, still didn't have any good, like real sweats with them. I think I did okay. I made some money, but like I thought I was going to win a lot more than I did. It was Davante Adams. That was the decision. So I had him. Everyone else. I had the worst quarterbacks like everyone else. I had Mahomes, who just did nothing. I had Tyreek.
Rough slate.
But, it was weird. So speaking of rough slates.
Good transition.
Yes. This is the RG Tournament Takes podcast sponsored by Yahoo. Let me do a little house cleaning here. But if you know, we say this every week, but if you're not playing at Yahoo, we don't know what you're doing. It's been the place to play this season. Everybody's coming over. There's lower rake overlay or the things that brought me to Yahoo that I always talk about. They have just been pumping a ton of money into their big contest, their million-dollar baller, which I believe is $20 again this week, is it?
Yep.
And is it the same old
200K same, overlay?
Yep, 200K overlay. And they just had a great Thanksgiving contest yesterday for a single entry that was a million-dollar contest that was just – it was a buck to enter, right?
Yeah.
And overlay too. Yeah, 900 grand of overlay, which is just insane. So I mean they want players, and people are responding, they're coming. I'm recognizing a lot of screen names from over from DK, FanDuel who are jumping in now. So I welcome it. The more the merrier. But they also do the single game this year, which has been great. Single game NFL slates. Nobody plays off of the optimal. So just get in there, be a little bit different, make some money. And they do those every Monday, Thursday, Sunday night. And they do have a new live final this season, which you kind of got to win one of their big events or big tournaments for. And I haven't yet, but hoping to do that before this season. But who knows? But they have it. And if you're just signing up and you don't have an account, use promo code GRINDERS25 for a free $25 bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's GRINDERS25. All right. That killed my transition, but we were talking how this slate is just, this is the most uncomfortable I've ever felt going through a slate. I literally don't like any plays. It's crazy. Yeah. I'm sure that you'll probably feel the same. We've got 10 gamer, right? Is that correct? 10 gamer. Yep.
Yep.
One game with a 50-point total, and that's the Bucks Colts. And we're dealing with some high pricing in that game. Brady is priced up really high. Jonathan Taylor is priced up really high. Then from there, we have three games that are kind of the high 40s. We got the Vikings at 49ers and with a 49-point total. We've got the Chargers at Broncos with a 48-point total. We have the Rams at Packers, which is a 47-point total. Other than that, looking at team totals, I mean, there's just not a lot. The Bucks come in with the highest team total at 28. Right behind them is a little bit lower, is 26.25 for the 49ers. Pats are just a little bit over 25. The Chargers are just a little over 25. And then there's just a bunch lower and lower. So this is, you know, it's kind of gross, like all around from a matchup perspective with all the plays. So what we're going to do, like we always do, is we're going to go QB, talk about our top values, our main preferred plays. We're going to head over to wide receiver with the same, running backs, and close it out with tight ends. Then we'll hit some stacks at the end. And yeah, so overall slate feelings, do you feel the same way I do at this point? Like, it just feels really uncomfortable.
Very, very uncomfortable. Really gross. A lot of the values at every position that we're going to talk about, you have to try not to throw up as you say the name. So yeah, it's one of those weeks. And, you know, we've had a lot of these weeks where we said, oh, we really like these weeks, or we find a lot of good plays this week, and we don't do that well. So maybe this will be the week that we bust out with huge wins on a slate that nobody likes.
I mean, I'm just going to have a CSV error or something wrong within the last 10 minutes, like I do every single week. It's crazy. So I checked out the Blitz, like I always do, for the most plays. They've got the Eagles and Giants as the most plays, Atlanta and Jacksonville right behind them, Houston, New York Jets, and then the fourth game was Tampa Bay, Indy, which is kind of interesting because when I always cross-check it with the Brandon Thorne article on Establish the Run, is up in Pace article, and he is not on the same page with the most plays. So interestingly enough, like that game that I said that the Blitz has Eagles Giants, he has that under a slow paced slog type of game he's talking about. So basically what he's saying in that game is that the Giants are awful against the run. Philly is always trying to limit the amount of passing they're doing because they don't, you know, feel comfortable in their passing game. And he expects to see a lot of carries, whether it be from Jalen Hurts or also my, you know, their running game with Miles Sanders and whatnot. So that, I just find that interesting. And then from there, he did like the Bucks Colts. He did like the Chargers Broncos as up and pace spots. So that's all I got there, but let's start it off at QB and talk about our top values. I wrote down for the value. I mean, it's, the first thing I said when I saw this, the slate, and I started running the projections and looking around what's going to be chalk, is like, wow, this is really going to be a Tyrod Taylor chalk week, right? And then,
dude, 20 bucks.
And then the Blitz optimal quarterback was Teddy Bridgewater. So I'm like, okay, so wow, this is going to be a Tyrod Taylor and Teddy Bridgewater chalk week. So Tyrod, I can get behind, right? Because it's the Jets, and I have said it every single week. I would play Head Chopper versus the Jets if he was available on this slate, and I will play anyone. The Jets are 32nd in DVOA versus the pass, so this is just a juicy matchup from a passing standpoint. Tyrod did have 6 rushing attempts last week, but more importantly, he had 2 rushing touchdowns. And the Jets, I did look up, they do allow the fewest quarterback rushing yards allowed. So that tempered my expectations just a little bit, but I think that's just more of a function on that teams are just, it's just so easy for them to hand off to the running back or, you know, light them up in the pass game. So I wouldn't really worry about that. I think we can expect Tyrod Taylor to break out some runs and potentially have a little touchdown equity with him on the ground. Teddy Bridgewater looks tough. So that's the game that they liked for up and pace. The Chargers have averaged the most combined plays this season and the second most total points Chargers game. So they are facing Denver, who's a much slower team, but the idea there is that the Chargers will dictate the pace in this one. The Chargers are much better. I mean, much better against the run. No, much worse against the run than against the pass. So they're good against the pass, terrible against the run is what I was trying to say. And Teddy Bridgewater at 23 bucks, I guess I can get behind it. You know, Big Ben did just hang 273 passing yards plus 3 TDs against this same defense. So, but I don't feel confident. I don't really think that I'll end up going here. I just wrote it down because I was struggling for value. The other two honorable mentions I wrote were Tua at $22 and Carson Wentz at 26. But again, the only one I really think that I'll end up on here, I mean, I'll have shares for the baller and all of them, but from a main lineup perspective, Tyrod would probably be the only one in consideration, and I don't feel good about that. What do you got?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, would you even actually consider him for your main lineup? Because those are the main guys that I had written down. I wrote down Tyrod as the best value. Bridgewater, Tua, Zach Wilson. If I mean, it's we're considering the Jets.
I left out. So I couldn't even write down that name. I just skipped it. I saw it and I skipped it.
That's fair. That's totally fair. So you have these guys as values, right? They're technically values from a projection standpoint, but to me, the range that I'm being drawn to is this like $27 to $30 range, $27 to $32, because you have guys like Justin Herbert, you have guys like Cam Newton, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, assuming he's good to go with his toe injury. So I think that's the group I would try to get around for my main lineup if I can make it work. And I think there's enough value that we can.
Yeah, so that's the range I like. So for my main preferred plays, I wrote down my number one would probably be Justin Herbert at the moment for $32. He's easy to fit. You can make that work pretty easily. Had coming off of a big game against what should be a somewhat of tough of a defense. Yes, they've been they're a little more injured recently in weeks, but Pitt is still a decent defense. But 382 passing yards plus 3 TDs, 9 rushing attempts for 90 yards. He kind of looks like the guy, but Denver defense is still pretty good. Yes, they lost some guys, but it does scare me a little bit, but really we don't have much else to work with. I did read something. This is not my own whatsoever, but I did read something about how Herbert really struggles with cover one defenses. This is getting too nitpicky, but the Broncos do play the most cover one. So someone that I respect was like, he's full fading Herbert this week, but I'm not really worried about that. I think that, you know, I think this defense will continue to get a little bit worse and worse as this, you know, the season, you know, as people are banged up more and more each week of the season. And I think the Chargers offense is clicking and they just have so many good weapons that we can pair. They have Austin Eckler, they have Keenan Allen, they have Mike Williams. So I can get behind that. Jalen Hurts, you didn't mention, I don't think, but because he's a little bit higher at 35. So, I mean, I want to like Hurts, right? Because finished a game, there was that one game where he didn't finish because they absolutely got blown out. But when in games that he's finished, he's been a top 12 fantasy QB. You know, he does bring the rushing upside. The Giants are 30th in DVOA versus the run. They've been decent against the pass, but Giants also allow the 7th fewest QB rushing yards. But again, I'm not counting that because it's just a function of who they played. They haven't played any good rushing quarterbacks and, you know, opponent running backs have killed them. So that sounds really good for Hurts' rushing upside, I think, but it also is a little bit scary because the Eagles are certainly trying to run more these last few weeks. They had 32 rushing attempts in their game last week, and then they had 18 rushes by Hurts. So we're looking at 50, you know, so that's not 50 rushing attempts. So that's not very conducive to the pass. So we have to get there on his legs is basically what I'm saying. And I think he can, and you know, certainly in this matchup, but there it is a little scary. Other than that, from there, I share your sentiment with the $27 to $32 range because Aaron Rodgers kind of sticks out at 27. I played him last week in GPP, and I was rewarded for that. And then at the very super high end, it's like you can do it. You can fit him. So, you know, Tom Brady should be in consideration, but that like pricing kind of pulls him out. But I am considering him. Matt Stafford on the other side of that Aaron Rodgers game. Hasn't been great. The Rams offense hasn't been great lately, but, you know, could get it done. Other than that, I got one last play I wrote down, which would be Matt Ryan at 23.
You're a braver man than I am. I guess just don't watch the game. That's the key. If you're playing a Matt Ryan or any Atlanta Falcon, do not watch the game. If you want to keep your health. Yeah. I like all those guys you mentioned. Hurts. The crazy thing about Hurts is if you look at like expected touchdowns on the ground, it's all running backs in the top 10. And then Hurts is like fourth or fifth in expected rushing touchdowns because they're using them around the goal line. So the rushing production is sustainable. So I think even if you do have to pay a little bit more, I think he does have a safer floor. And yeah, I have Brady as the top tournament option because one, all the stacking options, the high total game, and the price makes him a little more high risk for your main lineup. But I think if we, you know, we all agree that the $27 to $32 range is probably where you want to end up with your main quarterback this week.
Yeah, if not Tyrod down on the bottom. Yeah, the reason for Matt Ryan, so it's just the Jags, right? Like, that's the only reason I mentioned. And, like, I got to think that they're going to figure something out at some point and be able to do something in the passing game. And so this is the defense to do it against, the Jags, who just got walloped by the 49ers last week. They are 31st in DVOA versus the pass. They've given up a lot of fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. So, and also tight ends. So, like, Kyle Pitts is going to be extremely chalky this week because he's probably the best option at tight end. We'll get to that in a bit, but Matt Ryan pairs well with him. It's more of a function of, like, every play feels uncomfortable to me. Yes. So that's it. So I don't know how much more time we have to waste on any of these. Like,
let's move on.
Yeah, we gave a good pool there. So let's move it over to wide receiver. All right. So this is a function of also why Tyrod is going to be extremely popular. The top value, certainly, and probably the main preferred play as well, would be Brandon Cooks at 13. This is a function of playing the Jets. This is also a function of the fact that he's $13, which is cheap. This is also a function of that the Texans don't have much for a ground game. Just cut Philip Lindsay. Not that Philip Lindsay was doing anything, but their ground game has just been terrible in general. Cooks did have a bad game last week, which, you know, was an anomaly type of game where their defense was extremely well, and the Houston had an easy win, which we haven't been able to say much, if at all. But he's fifth in target share percentage amongst all wide receivers. He's 11th in targets, so you're getting a guy, the number one, clear number one wide receiver on the Texans with a somewhat competent quarterback now with Tyrod, against the New York Jets in that terrible defense. So I think we'll both agree on him. Other guys I wrote down, Cortland Sutton for $10 just because he's extremely min-priced, and if he's not wide receiver one, he's wide receiver two, but they just gave him the big contract. They show that they're committed to this guy, and, you know, 17 targets over the last two games, he's $10. Jerry Jeudy is probably a safer option, at least from production wise. Or is it Jeudy who had 17 targets over the last two games? Maybe I wrote that down wrong.
No, I think that's right. Yeah, Sutton's the one that's been under targeted recently, which was kind of surprising with the contract situation. But yeah, like you said, $10, you're betting on talent there, right?
Yes, Judy's target. Sorry, I mixed that up. Jeudy had 17 targets over the last two games. But Cortland, like, I'm that's just a thing where they committed to this guy, and it's his talent level, and he's min price. So it's hard to say anything bad about a guy like that at min price. Also wrote down Kenny Golladay, which is really uncomfortable play. He hasn't done much or anything at all, but, you know, Tony and Shepard are both out. So it's Shepard, has been out, but now they lose Tony for this week. So, I mean, it's him and Slayton, right? So, like, they in the passing game, and, you know, Golladay, we do know the talent level. Quarterback play has been bad by Janie Jones recently. The Giants have been bad, but, you know, they do have Saquon getting healthier each week. And, so he played last week, but he'll be back this week. So there's more threats around the offense. So, like, maybe Golladay can run off a big game in this one. And Jaylen Waddle rounds out my list here from the cheap guys, because it's a tough matchup, first of all, but, you know, he's sixth in targets and fifth in receptions on the year amongst wide receivers. So you're getting a bargain with this guy, but you're just not on a really high powered offense. So I don't know. What do you got?
I like Waddle too. And I keep finding bits and pieces of that Carolina game Carolina versus Miami game in my allocations. And every time I look, the total's dropping even further. I think it's down to 41 now. So it feels uncomfortable, but there is enough concentrated opportunity in that game that even if both teams only combine for 40 points, you can still get the fantasy production to even win tournaments as long as the production goes where we expect it to go. So I like Waddle for his price for sure. Cook, Sutton, those guys are the easy values. Another one I like near the bottom is LaVisca, who's $12, and Urban Meyer is doing some coach speak this week talking about getting him more involved. Jamal Agnew is out for the year, and he was taking a ton of snaps and targets away in this offense. And now we get LaVisca at $12 and some narrative around it. I really like him at his price. We briefly mentioned all of the Tennessee injuries. A.J. Brown is out this week. Julio Jones remains out. So we have a plethora of guys if we think they can do anything. So Nick Westbrook-Ikhina at $10 or $12. Chester Rogers, I prefer Westbrook-Ikhina. He's been the most productive when given the opportunities. And then you also have guys who are, you know, secondary options in their offenses that are pretty cheap, like Tyler Boyd, Van Jefferson. So those are guys I would look to. But again, I think we're back to this week, Chris, where we see a decent amount of plays that are underpriced in that, you know, $18 to $24 range.
The problem is, so the thing is that Brandon Cooks is chalk. That's the only problem there. Because, like, when I look at, like, Tennessee guys, I'm like, okay, they're coming to New England. New England defense has been playing great, and these guys are not really top commodities here, right? So we're talking about N'Keal Westbrook, like you said, Chester Rogers, Des Fitzpatrick, who is – I didn't even know who he is.
Real Hall of Famers.
And he did have a touchdown last week, you know, I mean, I don't know. Normally it's always, oh, Belichick's going to take away their number one option. I have no idea what even that number one option would be this week. And so then I'm like, okay, and I can compare that to Brandon Cooks, who's up there in target share and is playing the Jets. And, right. and it just feels so much better. But, you know, from GBPs, we got to try to get some leverage somewhere and get off of the chalk probably. So I guess those guys, yeah, we should consider them, but I just, it's going to be tough for me to.
Main lineup, it's tough to get away from him, I think, yeah. At that price. He's too underpriced, right? I mean, we've seen him at $17 or $20 most of the year. Now he's down at $13. It's just way too, in the best matchup, it's way too cheap.
All right. And then we've got some top guys, right? For like the main preferred plays. We've got Davante Adams at 31, which is reasonable for him, coming off of a massive game last week, which helped me out certainly. The problem is they're playing the Rams. Also, the problem is the offense has been slow, right? And like their games have been, you know, defensive battles for the most part. Except, you know, they did kind of go off in the second half, and you know that game did turn into a shootout in Minnesota. But the memory of the Seattle game that was 17-0 is fresh in my mind. But you know, we don't have to say much about Adams, but you know, the numbers are still there for him this season as well, which has been even somewhat of a down season. He's still fourth in targets, fourth in receptions, third in yards, seventh in air yards, first in target share. So it's like, he's just like the clear number one out of all wide receivers. He just hasn't had the touchdowns, but he came on with two touchdowns last week, which is what we were used to every week from him last season. From there, we've got Keenan Allen, who pairs well with Justin Herbert. Basically, he's averaged 12 targets and 98 yards each game over the last four games. It's just, it's every week, it's you know, pepper Keenan Allen. And he gets a good matchup with a struggling Kyle Fuller in the slot this week. So I can, you know, certainly like Keenan for my main lineup, you know, especially if I play Herbert, then I'm going to place a priority on having Keenan Allen. There's also Cooper Kupp back in our lives, right? They're coming off of a bye. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yep. And so a little bit healthier, you know, they should have a little extra time to figure stuff out with their offense. And what is their offense? Well, it's clearly Cooper Kupp. This dude has balled all season long. 9+ targets in every single game, number one in receptions, number one in receiving yards, number one in tight ends. So sorry, I did say Davante Adams, number one. I mean, touchdowns. Why did I say tight ends?
I was going to let you correct yourself. I wasn't going to point it out.
But. And it was like a 30-second delay before I even realized it. So that's something's going on in my brain.
It's Thanksgiving.
Yeah, definitely. Turkey hangover. So Cooper Kupp, but he's $36 in, you know, what is a tough matchup. I mean, Green Bay's defense has been pretty legit. You know, they've definitely one that we weren't so sure about in the beginning of the year has certainly, you know, exceeded our expectations. Right. Is that fair to say?
I would say so. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then there's massive other guys here. So there's, and like I said, none of these guys are in top matchup. Keenan Allen has a good individual matchup against a tough defense. Davante Adams, we're hoping he doesn't get shadowed by Ramsey. They haven't, you know, used Ramsey as a full shadow guy. They did use him a lot on him last year, but it wasn't a full shadow. But, you know, they're going to probably game plan to have more Ramsey on him than, you know, they typically do on anybody, even if they don't shadow. Cooper Kupp is, you know, facing a tough Green Bay D. Then there's guys like Debo Samuel. $36 is a little high, but like he's earned an increase. I mean, he's been, you know, just a threat from every angle, whether they're designing running plays and he's vulturing running back touchdowns, or, you know, he's their clear number one guy. There's Justin Jefferson, who's just a beast, right? Like, it's like every week he goes off and we're like, why don't I have as much Jefferson?
He's always 5%, right?
And it's like, I thought I had much more than him. Why didn't I realize that? You know, and it's Chris Godwin pairs with Brady, $28. One that also stands out, Deontay Johnson, $23. And that's just because he, you know, clear favorite for Big Ben and a guy who loves to pass as much as he can, though he is not very good at it. Yeah, that's what I got. What do you got?
Yeah, so Keenan and Deontay were the two guys to me that were in that range that really stood out. I like Michael Pittman as well. If you're getting a little game stack action there, his target volume has been great. A little bit cheaper, DJ Moore, Devonta Smith, if you're going the Hurts route. But I think probably two guys from that range and one value, with that value probably being Cooks, I think is the way to play it this week. Maybe you go one stud, one mid-range, one cheap guy. For tournaments, one guy we haven't mentioned is Ja'Marr Chase, who I think you have to have exposure to every week, and his price and the matchup, or at least the game total, I think will put people off of him some. And if he's going to be, you know, less than 5%, then I'm definitely going to play him.
Yeah, he's cooled off a bit recently, and that there, you know, Burrow hasn't been that great recently either. We know what the ceiling is. I mean, he just was an absolute smash for like the first 7 weeks of the season. I can get behind that. Yeah, that's interesting. DJ Moore, I forgot I did write him down at the bottom, you know, and that was more of a, man, it's hard for me to trust Cam, but like he does seem rejuvenated and, you know, like feeding off of the momentum of being back in Carolina. You know,
offense is creative too. They're running a lot of creative plays with him too, which is nice to see.
And he hit DJ Moore for, you know, DJ's his guy, he hit him for a touchdown, but, you know, he's also the offense looks better with him at the helm. He has options with McCaffrey back, you know, he's peppering him in the game. So I think that's the real issue too. So like whether the main build, like you said, whether it's going to be like the one cheap guy, one kind of a mid range and one of the high end studs, or are we going to end up potentially going like with a McCaffrey for $40 at running back, which we'll get to in a minute. I don't have anyone else. Maybe like Brandon Ayuk is coming along, you know, and yeah, Certainly a big part of the offense. Probably want a run back in the Jets Houston game. So Corey Davis is getting healthier.
Frame that moment in history. You just said we probably want a run back in the Jets in Houston game.
It's like basically it's me saying I really don't want a run back from the Jets, but we probably should run it back with somebody. I mean, maybe Corey Davis is who else is Crowder in play?
Elijah Moore has been hot. They got some cheap running backs now too that we'll probably talk about.
Yeah, so let's just move it over to running backs. That's our QB pool at this point. I mean, my brain is mush. Wide receiver pool. I am sorry. Running backs. You know what it is? It's just all this stink of all these plays that I had to write down. And I've played this guy last 2 weeks. I've watched every carry on this guy, like, intensely. He's okay. He's like, he's okay. His offensive line is terrible. You know what I'm speaking of?
I assume you're talking about Myles Gaskin.
Myles Gaskin. There it is. $14 again, 75% of the snaps. Like I said, bad offensive line, tough matchup with Carolina. But they are 20 from a defense overall. It's a tough matchup, but they are 20th in DVOA versus the run. The problem is they allow the fewest receptions and fewest receiving yards to opposing running backs, which is not great. I mean, we want receptions to Myles Gaskin, that he's been getting them. The thing is he hasn't been very efficient or productive with them, but you know, we take those little half points at a time.
Yep.
And screech out a 17 point fantasy game like we did last week. And what was it? Cupcake matchup against the Jets.
Yep.
But so it's a tougher matchup. So I'm lowering my expectations and, you know, but his price is only $14. And it makes sense. They did sign Philip Lindsay off waivers. I have no idea if he'll even get involved or what they'll do or if he'll even be ready this week, but I don't know. But I got him down there. Miles Sanders is kind of like the leap of faith play for me this week. As a value, it makes sense for them to be extremely run heavy, whether it's with the quarterback themselves or Miles Sanders, because New York Giants are 30th in DVOA versus the run. He did have 16 carries last week. Jordan Howard got injured, which is a blessing for Miles Sanders, right? So like, we don't have to worry about the vulturing the touchdowns. Like we still have to worry about it going to Hurts if we play Miles Sanders, but that's certainly, if Hurts doesn't, you know, score on the ground, it's probably Miles Sanders that's going to get it. And, I'll take that in this matchup. So I definitely like him. We do have some of these cheap Jets guys. I don't know, or is Tevin Coleman your preferred one because they gave him the carries in the fourth quarter once Carter went down, or do you like the talent of Johnson better?
Johnson's he's a terp. So I gotta side with him whenever given the chance. And there's not many this guy's am I going to take Ty Johnson as, but I think, you know, Ty Johnson, $14, being used in the passing game a lot more, has looked better. Just, it looks more spry. So I think Johnson's my preferred guy there. But again, $14 and $10, I think exposure to both is warranted. It's so gross, right? So you got those guys. You mentioned Gaskin. I like, you mentioned Miles Sanders, who I'm ready to take the leap of faith on. The last time I was ready to take that leap of faith was that Oakland game, and he destroyed his ankle like 3 minutes into the game. But again, Jordan Howard being out is such a big difference maker here. We were
He was Millie Maker winner team last week on DraftKings, Miles Sanders.
Yes, him and his 8 points in addition. Well, yeah, it was really a difference maker last week. But here's the difference, right? We were taking a leap of faith against Oakland or against the Raiders when they were saying they wanted to run the ball more. But now the fact, I mean, you mentioned at the top of the show with the pace that they truly are running the ball a ton and they're committed to it. So if that's the case with one less guy in the picture with Howard, I think Sanders is a great play. I guess the other guys down here are Dontrell Hilliard for Tennessee, because Adrian Peterson was cut. Jeremy McNichols is still out. Hilliard was using the passing game a ton. And if this game script holds as we think it's going to hold, he should be in there more than down to Foreman. And then that Jets-Houston game on the other side, you said Lindsey's gone. They do have another running back on the practice squad that might call up. So Rex Burkhead, David Johnson. But I don't know, man.
Yeah, so I can get behind Rex Burkhead because – I can't. David Johnson just looks so washed. But like, and like, they won't even target him like enough. It's like, I don't know what they're right. Gonna. But they gave Rex Burkhead 18 carries, last week. He's one of my former guys, my Pats boys that I would play him on sneaky weeks and have some success with. I mean, they gave him 18 carries. That's the only positive thing I can say about him.
I mean, 18 carries at $14, right? It's hard to get volume at that kind of volume at that price tag. So
in a good matchup, right?
Yep.
So yeah, I can do that. I guess I wrote down, and it was kind of, cause he's kind of a value, and I wanted to hear your thoughts too. So I think he's going to be popular because he's projecting pretty well on various sites, but Lenny Fournette, $19. So the thing I see is, like, I watched the game last week, so I saw he only got 58% of the snaps, which isn't bad, But Ronald Jones total, you know, he took 8 carries to, I think it was like his 10 carries. So it was more of a split than I would have liked. And Jones got, he vultured for some touchdowns. And it's also a tough matchup with Indy being second in DVOA versus the run. So I really don't want to play him at all, but I think he's going to be pretty popular.
Yeah, that was kind of weird, right? The split just out of nowhere. Like Ronald Jones was basically glued to the bench all year, and then out of nowhere he gets 8 carries. And I haven't seen a defense for it yet, but I guess the thing here, right, we have all these other guys that have warts and red flags and potential talent issues and split workloads. Fournette, even a little bit of higher price at $19, we know in a floor game he's going to get, at this rate, 50% of the snaps probably. So I still feel pretty confident in that. But again, if you're playing him, you're hoping for the full workload. You're not hoping for a split with Ronald Jones, so it makes it tough.
Yeah, because then there's also passing, you know, and Lenny can be using the passing game too, but there's also Giovanni Bernard there. So, yep. Yeah, it just gets a little scary. And then so you look at that matchup, and then you're like, so it should be a tougher matchup too. But yeah, I don't know.
So who are you trying to get into your main lineup then? Because we hate all of them.
Yeah. So now, exactly, that's the problem. And so then I wrote down in the main preferred play section. So I wrote down Dalvin Cook for 29. It's also a tough matchup, but you know what you're getting with this guy, and that's a massive workload, right? And you're also getting a really talented running back. It is in San Francisco. San Francisco has been good against the run. So it's not a slam dunk, but someone I could certainly feel comfortable with. I could feel really comfortable if I didn't have the $40 price tag next to Christian McCaffrey. Because Cam is peppering him, and 17 targets in the last two games. But the really thing is that he had a 90% snap share last week. So it didn't give him increased production, you know, from the week before. You know, basically, if you look at it, he had less carries this week, but than he had the week before, and less targets. But he did all that in way less snaps. But so he was on the field and just didn't, you know, just wasn't utilized. I don't think it was by game plan or anything, but it was just, you know, Cam took over a little bit with the touchdowns. He also, they hit DJ Moore. So there's plenty of more upside. So he's now 21 fantasy points in each of the last two games, got the snap share back. Now we just need the massive workload for him and to rush some touchdowns, right? Yeah. That's what we need. We need to get him in the end zone. So there, Cordero Patterson is back. Should be available for this game. That should help the overall Falcons lineup. It's a matchup with the Jags. We were enamored with this guy for his wide receiver production, you know, as a running back, you know, with, you know, getting wide receiver usage. And so, and you know, he may have fallen out of favor, you know, recently because of the injury and whatnot. But so I think he might get a little bit underplayed this week for where he should be against Jacksonville. And so he's somebody that I kind of have my eye on. Daryl Henderson is another guy I have my high on. He's $22. Like we wanted to jam this guy in, you know, earlier in the season when he was anywhere priced around this level. He just, you know, has been battled injury a little bit, but you know, the bye he should be nice and healthy for this game. And so, it's a tough matchup and from like a DVOA perspective, but, they have allowed they're 24th in DVP for fantasy points allowed. So they've certainly given up production on the round. Henderson is a guy that I bet you will get going this week. So there, and then like maybe you could take a leap of faith with Saquon, but it's scary.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Saquon, but yeah, $24 for the, and he came back to a pretty decent workload in his first game back. He had enough time off, so I think that's good. I like the Cordero call. He's pretty cheap. To me, I keep coming back to the guys in the $27 to $31 range, right? Like Eckler, Cook, Joe Mixon, Najee Harris, who have guaranteed volume, but you don't have to pay the premium of JT or McCaffrey. And I don't know, just given how uncomfortable we feel with some of the other plays on the board, I don't know in the main lineup if I can get up to McCaffrey or Taylor. Obviously, would love to. I think that's going to be the big decision point this week, is whether or not we could pay up for one of those stud running backs and feel comfortable with the rest of our lineup. I don't know. A lot would have to change, I think, over the next couple of days.
Yeah, Mixon's been a beast in the last 3 weeks. It took him a little while to get here, but he certainly has been good. And this Pitt defense has been a lot worse than advertised because they haven't been really healthy. They're 17th in DVP to opposing running backs. They are just above average for DVOA versus the run. Actually, just a tad below. They're 16th in DVOA versus the run. So I think the match, you know, I'm just like conditioned to like avoid Pitt, you know, from the last couple of years, but I don't think that's the case anymore. So Mixon, I'm going to rein him down and get behind. Eckler is going to be popular this week. I don't really know what I want to do, because I want to play Herbert and Keenan Allen is what I kind of decided that I wanted to do. So that would take me off of Eckler, but I think he's going to be popular. I mean, man, he went ballistic. I mean, he shattered that showdown slate in the last against Pitt, you know? So, I mean, that should bode well for Mixon when we're looking at him as well in that same matchup, run it back. But, you know, he had 11 rushing attempts. He had 2 rushing touchdowns. So he just ran really good. He got 4 touchdowns in that game, which is just insane. Against that Pitt D, the game kind of shot out. It was 41-37. So yeah, I probably need to consider him a little bit stronger. So yeah, I don't know. I don't feel good about it. I don't have a clear decision though about like what my lineup is going to be at this point. I'm hoping I get like some more clarity in the next 24 hours and start feeling good about some of these plays. But this may be a slate where really like we should be able to do better, because with tougher decisions, you would hope that, you know, our experience playing against a lot of like these same players, you know, and been playing for a while, that we should be able to capitalize on these decisions. But they're
the field's still going to gravitate towards the same plays, no matter how good the plays are or how thin the plays are, right? If they're the best plays, doesn't matter how relatively bad they are compared to other slates. The field's still going to gravitate towards those plays. We're still going to get those ownership leverage spots. It's just that this week, those ownership leverage spots are much more valuable.
Yeah, and everybody's all grouped together. So you're going to see, you know, the optimizer is going to spit out a play like Lenny Fournette. And every, you know, he's going to have higher ownership than I think he should in this matchup. And with the Ronald Jones situation and whatnot. And so we're going to probably be able to, you know, take some little bit, tiny bit thinner of plays, but get much more leverage on the field, you know. And like, that's what I love to do, right? Like, I always like to pick a spot in my main lineup, one or two spots where I feel really confident that I can beat these, like, these people are overlooking this play, and I feel really confident that I can beat, you know, all of these optimal players in these 10-man contests.
Yep.
I mean, that's how I make a living. but this is going to be scary this week. So speaking of tight end, isn't so bad. We don't have like the Kelce or Waller who got injured yesterday. You know, we do have a screaming value in Dallas Goedert at 16, but we've now hit it from every angle pretty much. Whether, you know, Hurts, we like Miles Sanders, but Goddard is a top 2 offensive, you know, passing game weapon. He should have had 2 TDs last week, which he didn't. He had one where they should have called him in because he kind of rode the back. Did you see that one where he he was down at like the half inch?
I thought he was in.
If you
make a play that great, man, just give him the touchdown.
They didn't like challenge it or anything, because like they were just going to punch it in the next play anyway. But but he was in, and then there was a PI, a pass interference call on Devontae Smith on another touchdown, where, you know, which was just unnecessary. So he ran really poorly last week, and he's still $16, which is way too cheap. The Giants aren't that great against tight end. 19 DVP to opposing tight ends. The only problem is Eagles' low passing volume, which we've mentioned several times. But target share is there with these since these past 4 weeks without Ertz, 29.5% target share, 31% target rate per route run over the last four. And I mean, so those are just really good stats that you like to see for your tight end. And, you know, he scores two touchdowns. He's up to $23 this week, $21 or $23 this week. And so we get him at 16. Kind of the gross play with which I'm sure I don't think you wrote down, but you can tell me if you did. Evan Ingram.
Did not write him down. Please
yeah,
tell me.
Yeah, he's the gross play. So it's just the matchup is as juicy as it gets from a fantasy points allowed perspective. And if you watch the Eagles, I've got a friend who's like an Eagles stan and like constantly talking Eagles in Discord. But they just get smashed by tight ends every single week. Now, Evan Ingram has let us down always in really ripe matchups. But, you know, so he's just kind of like my baller winner like this week, like play. Okay. Like I don't think he's going to be used much. He's overpriced for what the production he's done for. He's $17. We can play Goddard for $16. So like he's way overpriced. But the matchup is ripe and like they don't have Tony and they're Jason Garrett is gone. Unfortunately, Freddie Kitchen, the other moron, yeah. Right? Like who was so bad. Is taking over. We don't know what he's going to do, but you know, maybe they'll get Ingram involved more in this juicy matchup. We do have three strong plays on the higher end. Kyle Pitts, excuse me. We just hope that the Falcons can be a little more competent, and they should be against the Jags. Jags 19th DVP to tight end. We've got George Kittle, right? TDs in each of his last three games. There's definitely more room for increased usage. He's done this on low usage every week. He's $24, but and it's a tough matchup. Minnesota's allowed the fourth fewest fantasy points to opposing tight ends, but he's George Kittle. He's a beast. And then there's Gronk. What do you got?
Yeah, so those are. I mean, all the guys you just listed are guys I'm looking at, right? Pitts, Goddard, and Kittle, I think, are the best options for that range. Gronk, I think, is. And again, he's back and he's playing a good amount. It seems like he's over his injury. So I'm cool with playing Gronk too. It's just kind of jarring always to see Gronk as a $22 tight end after what we've seen. But those guys are interesting. I think they're the clear plays. If you need a value play, Jared Cook is $10. Not something you want to write home about, but he plays a good amount of snaps and it's hard to find guys who play a ton at $10 at the tight end position on Yahoo. So Jared Cook's another guy. And then a couple of tournament tight ends I like, because I do think that if, again, Pitts, Goddard, Kittle, maybe Gronk are the guys you want for your main lineup. But I like Noah Fant a lot this week. And Pat Freiermuth, the rookie in Pittsburgh, who was playing a ton with Eric Ebron out. Ebron returned and was starting to play more and take some snaps away from Freiermuth. Now Ebron's out again. And the field may overlook it. And Freiermuth, $16, kind of in that no man's land. I think he's a great tournament play.
That's interesting. I didn't even know Ebron was out again. Because in my head, I was like, I just looked past him because I was like, Ebron's, you know, hurting him. But so that's good. So I can get behind that one. Yeah. Other than that, it's all pretty gross stuff from there. Except like Mike Gesicki, potentially. I mean, we can always play this guy. You know, he's certainly underperformed for the opportunity, but he's out there running so many routes and, we can play that. Who's the Green Bay backup guy who's now the number one tight end?
Oh man, we got some good ones. We got Joshua. Nope, don't even know if I got his name right. Josh.
Yeah.
Iosgala, right?
Josiah.
Yeah, that's right. Degara. Yeah, Josiah Degara. There we go.
JD.
Yeah, real research is being done here on the Green Bay tight end side. Yeah, he's what's his price on Yahoo this week?
He's been priced. He got right. 37. He had a touchdown catch in the last one again, a tough matchup against Minnesota, who's been good against tight ends.
Two catches in four straight games. So, you know, again, punt play for sure.
All right. Let's move it over to our favorite stacks and then get out of here. hit me off with your main preferred one, and then get a little crazy with your second one.
Okay, main preferred one for me, I will say, I mean, this is kind of a cop out, but I think it's Brady. Brady, Godwin, Gronk, Brady, Evans, Gronk. Whether you run it back with JT and get value in there, or running back with Pittman, I think that's my main preferred stack for tournaments. And then on the crazier side, again, I mentioned it in the quarterback section. I keep coming back to the Carolina and Miami game, and because of Cam's rushing ability, especially if you play his side, you only have to play one guy with him. You could even play Cam and McCaffrey together, running back with Waddle or Gesicki. And again, even though that's a lower total, that means we don't have to stack as much because these guys are a little bit cheaper, especially in the skill positions outside of McCaffrey, and the volume is concentrated. So if we just get Cam scoring 20-plus points, McCaffrey getting his, and or one of the receivers on either side getting there, you know, that could easily be a game stack that wins a tournament, and then you can pay up at all these other spots in these other games.
Yeah, I can do that. Okay, I'll give two main ones because I kind of like – so Herbert to Keenan Allen is going to be my favorite. Run it back with Jerry Jeudy or Noah Fant to get a little different, like you said, at the tight end position. I think just because his price is at 18, he'll be a little bit overlooked. I do like the Aaron – I think this will be popular, though. I do like the Aaron Rodgers to Devontae and then run it back with Cooper Kupp and then, you know, try to fill in your lineup as best you can from there with a bunch of value because it's kind of tough. But it can easily be done this week because if you just throw, like, Brandon Cooks in there, it just helps things out, or like Myles Gaskin at the running back position. So that's in play, but this one's not even gross. It's gross now, but it wouldn't have been considered gross like 4 weeks ago, which is Matt Ryan to, yep, I'll say a double stack to Cordero and, ooh, Kyle Pitts, because you could get lucky with Cordero rushing, you know, production in there, but you also want him for the passing game, and they don't really have much of a running game besides him. And so hopefully Matt Ryan can pass, because, and this is just all about being the Jags, but I don't know who I would run it back with, to be honest with. I guess
LaVisca.
Yeah, LaVisca you liked, or Marvin Jones certainly could be the guy.
Oh, God.
Is James Robinson healthy? Is he
healthy-ish?
Yeah, he's been bumped and bruised for a while now in these last like 4 weeks. So maybe him, you know, $27. If he's healthy, is not that bad. James Robinson, I can get behind. Okay. All right, so that's it. So we got
what a gross week, dude. We're talking about Houston and Jets stacks, Jags and Falcon stacks. We're talking Panthers and Dolphin stacks. Week 12, NFL. You love it.
I usually feel so good, like after we like end our podcast, I have like a much clearer like vision of where I'm going to go, or at least the main decisions I need to make.
Right.
This week, I have no clue what I'm going to end up on.
That means I didn't do my job. I try, and I don't feel any good. So maybe you didn't do your job either. But it's a tough ass week, dude.
Yeah, it's tough. All right, so hopefully you guys can make some money out there. Hopefully you can ride your momentum with the UFC, make, yes, you know, just put you in a better mood when you're creating lineups this week, make you think clearly, you know, not doubt yourself, like what happens when we're on, or downswings.
Very true.
So UFC gives you that little edge that you need. And so hopefully you'll crush, I'll crush, and our listeners will crush.
Yes.
Hit us up on Twitter if you have any questions, but this has been the RGDFS Tournament Takes podcast for week 12, and we'll be back next week for week 13. Thanks.